Have you ever absolutely panicked after you accidentally deleted a file on your computer? I know I have. It's not an issue if you've got CrashPlan Smart Recovery. Your files are just a few clicks away and can be restored in a snap. CrashPlan provides the best cloud backup solutions in the market. Visit crashplan.com/bossproject for 50% off your first year of CrashPlan. Now you can protect all your work with an unlimited backup and recovery solution. CrashPlan makes it simple to restore some or all of your data. And with unlimited version retention, CrashPlan can be your ultimate rewind button. Get unlimited computer backup for you or your business with CrashPlan Professional. CrashPlan backs up files that live on your computer and works with PC, Mac, and Linux. Don't let data disasters slow you down. CrashPlan has your back and keeps you moving. Go to crashplan.com/bossproject for 50% off your first year of CrashPlan. That's crashplan.com/bossproject for 50% off your first year. Back up better with CrashPlan. Today on the podcast, we have Michelle Knight. She's a mother, wife, world traveler, and storyteller. She's also a branding and business coach and the founder of BrandMary.com. She works with female entrepreneurs to create an authentic, captivating, and money-making brand through the power of story, and today is no different.
Yes, today we're breaking down the different types of stories that Michelle sees as most effective in the online space, how you can easily, like literally easily, integrate things about yourself and your background and your purpose and your why and all those little tiny stories that make you an amazing human being into your brand. She's letting you guys in on some tactics on how to outline really big stories and how to break them down and how to share them authentically and how to really truly draw the connection to your audience so it can help build trust, which builds sales, which builds an amazing money-making business. So this one is really actionable and I think it's going to spark a lot of ideas for you guys. So maybe grab a notebook and you can brainstorm your own story while you're listening in on these tactics. Hey, Michelle, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks so much for having me. I'm so excited.
Yeah, we're pumped to have you here today. You know, we're talking all about stories, about ourselves and our lives and how to actually use them effectively in our brand. And I think this is a topic that we've definitely talked about before, and we've kind of covered how we've kind of integrated our own personal lives and story into our brand. But I think it's so unique for every single person based on where they're at in like owning their story and owning the things about them and really recognizing that they can be used effectively in a brand. But today, like you have different types of stories that we can talk about. Maybe they will connect with some people, and we're really going to dig into how to use the things that are about you in your brand, which make like bridging that connection, I think, is really difficult for a lot of people. Wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I struggled with it in the beginning a lot, like for like 8 months. Like, how do I show up as my true self and inspire people and actually get people to want to buy from me and like not get stressed out about it, you know? And so I struggled with it in the beginning, especially because I created an entire brand and I didn't realize until it was done that it didn't look or sound like me at all. Scrapped the entire thing and started over. And that's where I really fell in love with story. So totally excited to talk about that.
Yeah. And Abby, I think a similar thing happened to you when you first started.
Oh, girl, I was like trying to be all pastel and pink.
Oh, me too. And
like very feminine. And I am like
soft and just flowy.
I'm loud and colorful and blunt, but I'm still really nice. So like it's weird because I was like trying to take the niceness and like amp it up 17 volumes, and it just wasn't working for me. And it wasn't resonating with people. I was still getting clients, but they weren't the ones visiting my website. They were the people I was talking to and interacting with and being myself around.
I wasn't getting any clients, so.
I wasn't getting anyone. Yeah. Well, and I think like sometimes people don't really quite make that connection is when you like show up as your true self, which I know like authenticity and showing up as your true self, like those are like super woo like buzzwords right now, but like that's what we're getting to. Like when you actually show up as that, the right people start paying attention. And so if you're in a position right now where like maybe you've tried to create a mask of a brand and the people you're working with, you don't really like get to the root of who you're actually talking to.
Definitely. Definitely. I hear that too. Like, I see it in the online space all the time, you know, Facebook groups, all that. Like, I'm not attracting all the right people. It's like, well, are you speaking clearly to the people that you want to attract? Are you sharing those pieces of who you are so that they're like, oh, wow, I love this? Or are you just trying to like talk to everyone?
Yeah. Well, and I think we've shared the story in the podcast before, but it so resonates with this conversation. I think it was our first year of business. We were opening up like our doors for like collaborating with everybody. And we were had this mega girl crush on this brand. So colorful, so bright, so beautiful. Her blog, her website, like everything, the stuff that she sold. I'm like, we will connect with this girl. And we hopped on the phone with her. And it was never have I ever seen a bigger disconnect with someone's brand and their actual personality, where I was like, oh, like that is not you. Like if that's your online version of yourself or your business, that's fine. But like you're showing up as your person on webinars or calls with other people, and it is not the same thing. And it was super weird because as Abby and I, who wanted to just work with her in a collaboration space, we could easily just be like, nope, that's not a right fit. But if you really truly dig down to feel like, okay, well, why does that make us uncomfortable? Because there's such a level of distrust when you see one thing and you hear another. And I think ultimately, like we all know, like trust builds sales, it builds relationships, it builds loyalty. And this is one of the easiest ways to make those connections.
Yeah, you are speaking my language. I talk about trust all the time and the consistency, again, between like what people are seeing online and if they were to hop on a phone conversation with you or meet you in person, does it just feel like an extension of that or does it feel completely different? Like I want people to feel like they know me based on my online presence and that to be true. And there's this quote that I have been obsessed with since the beginning of my business that is, if people like you, they'll listen. If they trust you, they'll do business with you.
Oh,
I didn't make it up. I wish I did. I think it was Zig Ziglar who said it. And I just like everything that I have created around my business, everything that I have focused on has always been from a place of, is this building trust with my community?
Yeah.
And not breaking that trust.
Yes.
That's the trick.
So walk us through a couple different types of stories.
Yeah, definitely. So some of my favorite stories to tell people that they can share literally from the beginning, because we get really overwhelmed. Like, how do I show up online? I'm not really clear on everything yet, or I'm just starting. And I'm always like, focus on visibility, focus on just getting started and building that brand awareness. And you can start with what you already have inside of you, which is your story. And so, you know, one of the easiest stories to share, and we were chatting about this before, is that how did your business come to be? Like, how is this idea born? Start inviting your audience into that, because many of them might be in a similar situation and they really want to see that kind of behind the scenes of what was that process like. So that's one of the easiest stories to share. Another one that I love is the purpose story. Why do you do what you do? Like, we all know this. I hope you all, like everyone listening, has taken the time to figure out why you created a brand and business in the first place. So share that with people. Start connecting with them. I know that was huge for me because I attract a lot of mompreneurs because my business was born basically at the same time my son was born. And so when I share that piece, we're starting to build that relationship together right out. Yay. I also love stories around your values and your beliefs, things that you hold very, very dear to you. So one of the things that I'm a huge advocate for is traveling and being able to travel with children, because everyone told me I couldn't do it. I said, watch me. Watch me do it. And so that's a big piece of the story I share through photos, through content, through stories, through Instagram stories.
Well, I think all three of those work really well, no matter what you sell. So I think people get hung up on like, well, I sell coffee mugs, not coaching, or I sell courses, not whatever, planners. And it like, they forget that like, okay, but you're still a human being that has a life that started a business for a reason. And everyone is nosy enough as humans to want to know that story.
Totally. And we're talking to humans, right? And I think we forget that too. Not only are we humans, but people on the other side of the phone, on the other side of the live video are also human and they want to make that connection. And I always tell women who have product-based business, why would someone buy your product over somebody else? Because there's a million coffee mugs out there.
Yep. They need to connect with you, boo.
Exactly. Totally.
Yes. Find that thing. And it doesn't like, I also think people get hung up on the like, what makes you uniquely different? And everyone's always wants this like I always picture it as finding your like Miss Congeniality talent. Like when she was like doing the circle cups, like finding the thing that like, oh, this is your talent show talent. But like, it doesn't have to be this unique, weird thing. Like, just talk about the things that make you a human. Are you a single mom? Do you love traveling? Do you rescue puppies? Like, what is the thing? It doesn't have to be this like novel, dreamy idea. And other people who like those things are going to connect with you.
Totally. I call it a superpower because, and what makes the superpower super? You believe in it, right? It's something that you have, but you believe so strongly in it that it makes it super. And so I think that that is the whole, like, it's the whole owning your story, right? Owning that piece of who you are.
Well, and along those lines, I was just at a conference and we were specifically talking about story. And the woman speaking mentioned that she, for too long, had told people how unique she was and like would get so knee deep in it that all of a sudden no one connected with her. Like she bursts from home and she homeschools and she like grew up with like midwives and like, so her life is very different from the typical mom, but all of a sudden when she like rolled it back and instead of having that be the forefront of her story, said, you know, I'm just like you and I care about my kids. All of a sudden it was like, boom, like everyone relates to that on a bigger picture level. So I think being unique is great, but also being relatable is more important.
Yes, totally. And I think that's so interesting because when I started, I have some big moments in my story. I lost my brother to childhood cancer. I also birthed a child at home. I can relate to her story, you know, but it was funny because the piece that people connected with most was the fact that I decided not to go to college, you know, and I saw that as being insignificant based on other things that had happened, but that was the piece that more people could relate to. And so I think people get caught up in this, well, my story isn't memorable or my story isn't unique enough, but it's really those real life moments that people connect to most. And so that's like another story I love to talk about is share what happened to you this morning and how you learned from it, you know, share something that happened in your everyday life that you know your audience can relate to.
Well, and I think like I want to remind everyone that you have the power to decide what to share and what not to share. And it's a conversation like I feel like Abby and I might have it more than other business owners because we are a partnership. And so we do have to be kind of like strategic about the things that we're sharing and when we're not sharing and like how much do we want to let people see this part or that part. So there's stuff from like childhood and relationships and like everything that we could bring up. And I think there's some stuff where we're like, you know what? I think we're going to keep that part of our story to ourselves. Or maybe when we like meet people in person and like we connect with like a higher level students on a different level, like maybe that's when that comes into play. But you get to decide. Like just because you're sharing this part doesn't mean you have to share all the parts.
Yeah, totally. I think that there are some things that still need to be sacred, right? That's what makes us human. Like we still need that piece of the puzzle. And that's what I think is so beautiful about being an entrepreneur and owning your own business. You get to choose, boo, right? Like you get to choose what you want to share. And I think one of the really important pieces is how does your audience connect with that? So really understanding who your audience is and saying, okay, if I share this piece of my story, how does it relate back to my audience? Because we want them to feel that connection. We want to build trust. And if you're just kind of sharing it to share it and not understanding that connection, that's when you kind of get into this like Dear Diary cycle and no one's like actually paying attention.
Yes. I see so many brands that do that. And like I read them and like it's really funny because I talk about being an only child, how like I don't know what boundaries are. Like I don't understand like not sharing stuff and like when to put on clothes. And like, you know, it's just this really like open, free house that I grew up in. But like, I also will hear stuff from other people and they're sharing like something super personal. And I'm like, ooh, like that's like a really personal, like that's a lot. That's extra information that I did not need. But I'm also not their ideal client. Like I'm not into that type of oversharing. And so I think it's just interesting how like do what feels comfortable for you and know that you can change it at any time. And like you can up the levels and turn the levels down. I know a lot of people who do this after they have kids, for instance, like if they built their brand before kids and then kids come into the picture, there's the big, like, do I talk about my kids? Do I not talk about my kids? And like how to kind of navigate that into your story. So overall, what I'm saying is you get to decide and change your mind whenever you want.
That's the beauty of being an entrepreneur. You're in charge. That's what I love.
Yeah. So once people pick their story, like, what's their first step? They're like, okay, I want to start sharing some more. Okay, I'm going to talk about my purpose. Like, how do they actually get started integrating that?
Yeah. So again, one of the first things that I always recommend after you've kind of gotten in touch with your story, whether that's your purpose, whether that's what led you to this moment, another thing that I love is like the three transitions. So if anyone's listening and is like, I cannot figure out what my story is because it's like years and years.
Well, I was born in September.
Totally. It's like find three major transitions that maybe changed, you know, direction for you or had you really thinking about like what you were doing with your life. Like we've all had those moments and start to kind of dig deep into those pieces. So after you've kind of figured that out and you've brought yourself into your brand, then think about your audience, right? What are they going to really resonate with most? How can I share this in a way that will be aspirational, right? That can be inspiring, that can make that connection, that can build trust. And I think that is really the next step because once we figure that out, then we can figure out, okay, I'll share this piece of my story in this way and really kind of round it out at the end and say, okay, now share below because we all love engagement. You know, share below. Did this story resonate with you? Share below. Did you have a moment that was just like this? But I think sometimes we miss that piece. We miss the piece of how does this relate to our audience? And that really helps with the content creation. That helps with the live video. That helps with creating a challenge or whatever it is. And so that's kind of the missing piece that cannot go missing anymore.
Do you think it matters what type of business they're in, what type of story they tell, or is that irrelevant?
I personally don't think it does. I think that it goes back to like, do you feel comfortable sharing this? And then knowing that like, is your audience going to resonate with this? So, you know, if maybe you have a product base, and I always get this question, like service-based, product-based, it is very different storytelling. But again, knowing your audience. So if your audience, if you sell, I don't know, t-shirts and you use organic cotton, right? Why do you do that? Why do you choose the pieces that you use? Why did you start this business in the first place? And really understanding your audience as a whole, because again, they're human and they're multidimensional, right? They're not just shopping online for t-shirts. They're probably also, you know, like they might eat a certain way. They like might like to travel. And so really understanding who your audience as a whole will help you know, hey, I can share this piece of my story. It's going to help me connect with them on a deeper level. And it's going to build that experience with them so that they keep coming back for more t-shirts or they keep coming back or they refer their friends because of something I said. There's a brand I absolutely love. It's a product, like a face brand on Etsy. And I follow her on social media and I'm just obsessed with her. I tell everyone about her. And it's like, even though I love her product, I'm like more in love with what she does and how she creates her product that I'm just going to keep coming back for more.
Want to learn exactly step-by-step how to get paid to generate leads in your business? I've kept these details to myself for far too long. I'm ready to spill everything and give you the exact steps that help me generate tens of thousands of qualified leads and millions in low-ticket digital product sales. I won't just show you what I did, but teach you how you can do it too. I'm talking not just how to create low-ticket digital products, but also showing you how to use them strategically to generate leads for your other existing or future offers. I'm sharing it all at bossproject.com/jumpstart, including exactly how I made $8,033 and generated 277 leads my very first month selling digital products. Find out more at bossproject.com/jumpstart. We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. With over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. I love that Indeed makes it easy to hire because I'm busy enough already. When we've hired in the past, the process was full of unqualified applicants. With Indeed, we can target the right candidates for the right position. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/strategy hour. Just go to Indeed.com/strategy hour right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/strategy hour. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Money issues are a common stressor in any relationship. Monarch Money is the top-rated personal finance app that can get you and your partner on the same page without any extra cost. Monarch has built-in collaboration features, so together you can see your finances, budget, and get insights on your cash flow. It's the easiest way to manage any household finances. I've tried other finance apps in the past, and they didn't work the way I wanted them to. I don't want to stress over finances. Monarch is the top-rated all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you a comprehensive view of all your accounts, investments, transactions, and more. Create custom budgets, set goals, and collaborate with your partner. And now get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/strategy. Monarch has a tool that allows you to easily import your data from Mint and keep all of your tags and categories. Monarch's simple, intuitive design makes it so easy to get set up, customize, and use. Monarch prioritizes my privacy, and they'll never sell my data to third parties. After trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it's the top-rated personal finance app. And right now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/strategy. That's monarchmoney.com/strategy for your extended 30-day free trial.
So there's a question I feel like a lot of our listeners probably are popping up in their heads right now. Okay, but how do you do this when you don't really have an audience yet? Where do you start then?
Yeah. So I think whether you like have the followers or the email list, you should still be really clear on who you want to attract. So in the beginning, understanding, and you know, we talked about this, like attracting the right or wrong people. If you're just starting out, you're in a great situation because you can just start like figuring that out now rather than, you know, 6 or 8 months from now. Start really figuring out, who do I want to attract? Is it moms? Is it women who are really into their skincare? Is it women who want to leave their 9 to 5? Like, what is that? And you kind of creating this client avatar in your mind that gets you to a place where you can start sharing your story. And then I think it's just about anything with business. It's about testing the waters. So do it, see how it does, see how it responds, see how it feels with you, and make those changes as you go along. But one of the most important pieces is to just get started.
Just start talking about it. I think it's forgotten, or it's a misassumption or whatever, that we see other brands that once they already have an audience, we're like, okay, well, they've always had that audience. Like, it's always been there. But like, remembering that literally everyone starts at zero with no one listening, no one caring, no one paying attention. Testing, yes. But I think some people can convince themselves that it feels inauthentic to share your story to an audience that you're crafting, like in your head, that, okay, they don't exist yet, but this is who I want them to be. But like, quite literally, that is how everyone gets started.
Yes. Like the Instagram experts, you know, the Facebook ad, everyone started at zero and they were just testing to see what worked. And then it did. And then they said, oh, I'm going to share this. It's how I feel about IGTV right now. No one knows what they're doing.
They're just pressing record and going live. It's fine.
Everyone's just testing it. And there will be people who come out of this becoming experts in that industry. And we get to see that like evolution. It's the same with every piece of being a business owner.
So talk to me a little bit about like really making this work from like a just crafting it standpoint. Like, okay, I have an idea for a story, but like literally I sit at my computer and that thing starts blinking and I'm like, ooh, I don't know what to say. Even though like I might have an idea of like the premise. How do I even begin crafting? And do you have like a good way to get the words out of someone?
Yes, definitely. So I think the first thing is that you're not sharing the story as in its entirety. And I think this is a mistake. Sometimes people think they're like, oh, I'm just going to share it all in one post. Well, then you're not going to have much to share for a long time. Like, one of the things that I think is amazing with content creation is breaking it down into bite-sized pieces. So if you have a particular story in mind, kind of outlining it, you know, it's very similar to just like writing a book. I've never written one, but I imagine this is what you do. You know, you like kind of outline, like, what are the main points? Can you break that down into smaller pieces? Not only does this help you share the story, but it also helps your audience kind of absorb the story. Because if we read something and it's like, yada, 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 we're like, I don't even know what happened. I feel very overwhelmed. I'm just going to like, next slide, please. Whereas if it's like one specific piece, we tie that to our audience and they can walk away really remembering the details of that story, it's going to have a bigger impact. So I always say kind of break it down and just keep breaking it down. It gives you, I mean, some of my clients will do this and they're like, well, I broke this down into like 60 topics. And I'm like, good for you. You have 2 months of content, you know? And so breaking it down into pieces. But then one of the things that worked really well for me in the beginning, because I love to talk and like record, is I would record myself talking about it. So I think if you're really struggling with writing or you have that writer's block, get one of those text to talk apps on your phone or use Google and just start talking it out. And I think that's really powerful. And it also helps you kind of figure out your voice rather than the mask we were talking about. Sometimes we'll like go to write and that mask pops up. And we're like, oh, I feel like I should say this way because it sounds better than what I actually want to say. And we more freely talk about it. So that's one of my favorite things to do. If you ever feel blocked, just talk it out. And then you can go back and kind of like edit it and make it make sense. But it helps a ton.
An exercise we go through with a lot of our people when we host a challenge is in the process of trying to find out your offer, the thing that you're wanting to sell, we ask them before that to reach out to like 5 to 10 friends and family, people that they know, and ask them the unique way that they show up in the world. What do you come to me for? What do you think my qualities are? What do you like about me? Like, what do you think I bring to the table, basically? And so they come back with like paragraphs and paragraphs and bullet points from their people. And then they're like, I feel like they're just like unloading it on someone's desk. They're like, okay, I don't know what to do with this information, because it's stuff like you have a great sense of humor, or you're really organized, or you're a great listener. That's what a lot of our audience gets. You're a great listener. And so they take that information and they're like, I don't know what to do with this now. And so what we try to kind of reframe it for them is, we don't necessarily, there's not necessarily going to come a product. Like your aunt isn't going to be like, you're a great copywriter. And then you start a copywriting business and you crush it. Like that is not how this works. But what we're asking is, I want other people that are not you to tell you how you show up in the world for other people, because we forget and we don't know, we don't realize this, because we can only show up for ourselves and we need someone else's perspective on that. And so I want them to start to use that information to kind of spin like the messaging of their brand and the tone of their brand and like the types of products that they offer because of all of that information. So do you have any other ideas? Because we just wrapped up a challenge. So a lot of people are like armed with books of information about themselves that they have no clue what to actually do about. So do you have any advice for them?
Totally. So one of the things that I love about branding and experience is this thing called containers. So creating these specific containers for your brand. So, you know, we're multidimensional, we're human. And so, you know, you can have containers that are based on travel, or maybe you know that you're a great listener, right? Like thinking about those specific instances and having these different containers that all add up to your brand, and then kind of funneling your stories into these each containers and then rotating them and how you share them online. So that's one way, if you have like specific examples, if your aunt is like, oh, I come to you for advice for travel, you know, maybe that's a container. But on a more emotional level, I always love emotional branding. It's something that I talk about a lot, about kind of building that relationship with your audience. And so if you know you're a great listener, then create stories, create content that allow your audience to speak up, to be heard, and then listen to them, you know, and do what you're good at and answer questions and give them that platform. Because I think people really need permission a lot to speak up and to say things. And so giving them that, maybe if you find out you're a good listener, give them the platform to do that and then shine. And, you know, maybe for you, it's like talking about something in a story and inviting them to DM you and then having that conversation. If you find out that, you know, people come to you a lot for, I'm thinking like strategy or like breaking it, time management, let's do time management. Then start, make that a container of your business and start sharing little pieces of time management to really position yourself as an expert in your industry. So I would say, look at the connectors. Like if you come with these stacks of papers and these books, you don't have to run with everything. Just because one person said something doesn't mean you have to create your whole business around it. But like find the connectors. And if that one thing is coming up a ton, make that a container of your brand and start showing up in that way for your audience.
Well, and I'm even picturing like it, for all the people who got you're a good listener, I love the idea of giving your people a platform to so you can listen to them and then run with it. But I'm thinking quite literally like the language on your website of like your contact page, instead of just like contact me in this form, like a picture of you with a cup of coffee that says like, let's book a coffee chat, or like, I can't wait to hear from you. And like literally tweaking the language to be like, this is what I do well. So I want you to talk to me instead of just like reaching out to a business and that kind of cold call feel. So just change up your imagery, your language, how, like the platforms that you're providing for your people based off of that feedback.
Yeah, I'm so glad you said image, because I think story can show up in every single area of our business. It's not just like saying, this is my story. It's also the type of language that you use online. It's also the pictures that you have as well. And so one of the things that I tell my clients, this is a little strategy, is, you know, figure out what those emotions you want people to feel are. So if you know that you're a good listener, you want people to feel maybe invited or warm, and then take those emotions and go to my friend Pinterest and type them in and see what kind of photos pop up, and then create the imagery and the feeling of your brand around those emotions rather than just like, this is what I do. And really focus so that
I'm a great listener.
So that when people land on your website, they're like, wow, I feel like I could have a conversation with this person, or I feel like she could invite me into her home, and really focus on branding your business around that piece rather than just like, here's a cute picture.
I think it's cool that you bring up Pinterest, because last night I couldn't sleep and I was scrolling my old Pinterest boards and I was looking at Dream Kitchen. And these pictures were awful. Like, I was like, who the hell pinned this? And I was like, obviously I did like a decade ago. But it's interesting, at like, as you grow as a person, like there are things about you that change. So part of my story is that I lacked style for a long time. And now, like, people look up to me for how I dress, how my house looks, like the way I show up in the world in that way. But like, you can develop parts of your story that didn't exist before. Like, I went to school for design and I sucked at like, I mean, obviously Pinterest 10 years ago was awful if you really think about it, but
yeah, I need to see some of these old Abby's Dream Kitchen pins. What was the style?
Like
farm?
No.
Chickens?
No. It was like, it was a lot of DIY stuff. It was a lot of like, just like making it work. And I'm like, maybe when I had zero space and no money, this made sense, but not anymore.
It's like old dresser turned sink turned antique wash with unique knobs.
Like, yeah. There was red seat cushions on
our stools. Oh,
and I was like,
the worst color.
Why?
Red in a home. Mm.
I mean, some people love it. That's fine. But it was just like, this is not me at all. I don't know why this still exists.
Get it out. It's burning my eyeballs.
So, I mean, that's the kind of thing. It's like, I pointed out to say, like, you have the ability to change in ways that will even surprise you later. So like, sometimes you just have to take a step back and like, see how you've grown, because sometimes that becomes the story.
That's one of my favorite stories, is the transformational story. And it's the most powerful online. I mean, think about before and after photos we love of like fitness, right? And things like that. The transformational story of like, this is where I was. You know, like, this was my dream kitchen before. And then I've learned these things about myself and my personality. And this is where I am now. People love before and after. So the whole transformation from A to B is one of the most powerful stories. And it's all about the process, right?
Yeah, I love that. So let's head into talk strategy to me. And I would love to hear just 3 to 5 action steps that people can maybe start thinking about or implementing this month to begin to integrate more of their story into their brand.
Yeah, definitely. So number one is to actually start getting in touch with your story. And we talked about this a little bit earlier about the 3 transitions. This is the trick that I use. If you're just starting out, start here. Start with identifying these 3 transitions. If you've had a brand for a little bit, but you recognize that you're really missing from your brand doesn't feel true to you, then you can always add this back in. So identifying 3 transitions. And again, the main things that I love people to focus on are, who was I before? Who was I after? And what changed with each of these transitions? And it's not to say that you have to share every detail about these transitions. The whole point is that it allows you to show up more clearly in your branding. But for many of you, you're going to be like, wow, I didn't realize that I could then talk about this in this way with my audience. So connecting again back with you and connecting it to your biz in some way. And one of the things that I love to encourage people to do is when you look at these three transitions, what is the underlying connector? So when I looked at my three transitions, which fell all over the freaking board, I realized that there was this really strong desire for freedom and in different ways. And so I really carried that over into every aspect of my brand and to, you know, how I share my story online. And so freedom is such a big piece of the puzzle. So that is number one, getting back in touch with who you are and your story. And then what we talked about is your audience. Really get to know your audience. Please, please, please. Like, don't skip this step. I don't know why some people online are like, you don't need to know your audience. I'm just like, please stop talking about that. Listen, because again, like we were talking about earlier, you'll attract people that you don't actually want to work with. And if you find that you're in a place in your business where you're attracting people that don't line up with your values or don't line up with what you actually want to provide, get back in touch with how you're actually showing up online, because that's a big piece of the puzzle. So really figuring out who your audience is, what they're really, we know the typical questions, right? What are they struggling with? What are their desires? But one of the things I really encourage you to also think about is where they are now and where they want to be. What needs to happen in between? Because sometimes I think we're like, oh, I'm talking to their pain points and they're not wanting to work with me. It's like, well, you're just reminding them of where they are. You're
reminding them how shitty their life is right now.
You're not like inspiring them or saying, hey, I get it. I was there too. Here's what I did. You know, maybe you could do this and this will get you closer to this goal, right? So really paying attention to what needs to happen to get them from point A to point B, the struggle to the desire, and really thinking about how you can connect with them on a more emotional level. This is going to help you with the storytelling. So if you know, again, you want your audience to feel warm, if you know you want your audience to feel bold, like they can take on the freaking world. I always said that I wanted my audience to feel like they were at my house sitting by a warm fire on a fall day with like a blanket. And that's how I created my entire brand. I've had people tell me that that's the way that they have felt. So really thinking about how you can connect with them on an emotional level through storytelling. And then once you have really figured out, you know, who am I? What are the pieces that have led me to this moment? How can I show up more? And how can I relate to my audience? Then just start doing it, right? I think one of the things that holds us back is we just overthink. And I get it. I'm a recovering perfectionist. I really struggled with vulnerability in the beginning, which is funny because people are like, how is that possible? You share tons online. But like, it took a while to get to a point where I felt comfortable doing that. But it came from just starting and testing. And so, you know, I wanted to kind of leave your listeners with those stories again and a couple more that they could literally get started with today. And so again, number one was like the brand story. How did it come to be? Talking about those three transitions. Another one is your purpose. Why do you do it? The other one is the stories around your values and your beliefs, right? Kind of those containers we talked about. One of my favorite stories is about kind of like an industry disrupt, right? Saying something that is true to you, that kind of goes against what everyone online is talking about. I'm telling you, those are some of the most powerful stories that you can really show up and share. And obviously, make sure they're true to your core values. You're not just saying,
like, don't just disagree with something for the sake of disagreeing.
Yeah, I don't agree with this, okay? But like, why?
Yeah. I think podcasts are junk.
Right. Why don't you feel that? Like, why do you feel that way? But I think that's really powerful. And one of the things is to like pay attention to what people are saying online so that you can then show up with kind of that, you know, shock to the industry. Another one is a behind the scenes. And I think we overlook this a lot. And that was that day to day. So if you are a online entrepreneur, show people your workspace, show people your morning routine, show people, you know, a client call day, right? I do this all the time. I'm like, all right, I'm getting started. I have a client call, check back in. People love that. They love it because we get really kind of isolated in being an online entrepreneur and we want that connection and we want to see how are they actually doing it. And so showing those behind the scenes, and there's so many tools now with Instagram stories, my favorite. Obviously, IGTV and all that stuff as well, where you can really show those pieces. And if you're an entrepreneur that struggles with being on camera, and this is a great place to start because you don't have to be on camera, right? you can just show like, oh, this is what I'm working on, or, you know, this is my meditation space, whatever lights you up, you know? So behind the scenes are great. And then the one we talked about before, that transformation, who are you before, you know, what happened, and really encouraging your audience to honor the space that they're in as well. And kind of being that, you know, aspirational light at the end of the tunnel is a really, really powerful story to share.
I think the last thing I want to add, that a theme that I'm seeing in a lot of your examples, or at least the freedom that you're giving people, is if you just start, sometimes the realization of what the story is comes after you just start sharing stuff. Like, you may not be able to strategically be like, this is my bucket and this is how it connects to my audience, and like, this is exactly what I'm going to set out to achieve. Sometimes you just start talking and sharing, and you wake up a couple months later and your people are saying, I come to you for this and I love that you share that. And you realize, oh, that is a common theme in how I'm showing up in my brand. Now let's lean into that. So I feel like that was a lot of our brand, where we did start intentionally with a couple of pieces, but then we just like showed up as ourselves. And then our audience was like, this is what I come to you for. And so we leaned into that some more.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. That's how the whole perfectionist side of my brand really came to be, because I kept hearing from my audience, like, how do you deal with this? Or I noticed that, like, you're talking about like your background, you know, in perfectionism, and how do you deal with that with your business? And that became so, like, now I talk about it on podcasts and like interviews and everything. And I would have never thought of that on my own. And my audience kind of spoke up for me. So
yes, I love that. I love when they do my job for me.
It's so nice, isn't it? That's what people always ask, like, what do I share online? When's the last time you asked people what they were looking for? They'll tell you.
I ask our people all the time, what do you want from me?
Yeah.
I'll do it. Awesome. Well, that was so great, Michelle. Thank you so much. How about you let everyone know where they can hang out with you online?
Yeah, definitely. So I'm loving Instagram, which we've been talking about nonstop. I'm at Brand Mary Coaching on Instagram, and my website is brandmary.com. And on there, you can basically find everything that you need. There's a tons of resources, including my private community, Authentic Brand Builders, on Facebook. I love my community. So would absolutely love to have any listeners that really resonate with story and want to show up more online, you know, more authentically, to join us in that community.
Looking to elevate your brand without the headache? Join the Co-op, our creative template shop membership. With thousands of easy to customize templates, all crafted to seamlessly fit your business aesthetics, we make nurturing leads and driving sales effortless. We're talking serious impact and seriously simple creation. Become a member now at creativeshopcoop.com and transform your business today. That's creativeshopcoop.com. Hey, a few quick favors before you leave. I'd love if you'd share today's episode, send it to a friend who needs to hear it, and post on social. You can show us where you're listening from, your favorite takeaway, or why someone else should listen. Be sure to tag me at Abigail Says and at Boss Project so we can share it. Okay, second favor, to get podcast updates and all the behind-the-scenes news from Boss Project, I'd love if you'd join my VIP list. Just head to bossproject.com/signup to make sure I have all your contact details. Really love the show? It would mean so much to me if you'd leave a rating and review. It not only helps more listeners find the show, but allows us to bring on quality sponsors so we can keep bringing you this valuable content for free. Thanks so much for listening. Until next time.